Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I know, I broke my tradition of not doing that during Lent, but I think we all need a reminder that our Lord Jesus Christ is alive. He's in charge, he's in control, and all things that are going on in this world right now, we need to remember that ultimately, he's got them in his hands. And besides, you know, if our music director, Nathan, can use a song that's got hallelujah in it during Lent, well, I'm going to have it in my sermon as well. You know, have you ever read a book that's so powerful, so meaningful to you that it really grabs you, right? The story's exciting, and even if you read this book years ago, you still remember the book and the impression that it gave to you. You know, one of the books that I remember reading as part of my anthropology classes in college was a book called Things Fall Apart by Chinua Achebe. All right. He's a Nigerian author. And it's the story of a man named Okonkwo. And this man experiences this downward slide in life as the world changes around him. Now, Okonkwo is a powerful man. He's a leader in his village. And over the course of the story, tragedy after tragedy after tragedy besets this man. Okay. And we as the reader are watching as things fall apart, right? We watch how this man, we watch how his village, how they deal with change from outside forces, change for things that are outside of their control. Now, sometimes we're drawn to these stories because even though they aren't happy ones, we can relate to them. We see a tragedy play out before our eyes, and it's like watching a train wreck in slow motion. We know where this is going to end. But let's be honest, you know, sometimes these stories, they touch us because they're a reflection of life. They're a reflection of our life. How often have we found ourselves in situations where everything around us is falling apart and slipping through our fingers? Look at what we're all trying to tackle right now. What our state, the state of Illinois, is trying to handle. What our country is trying to tackle. What the world has right before them. Every single country. Doesn't matter where you live. COVID-19. Here, you know, used to call the coronavirus, right? The state of Illinois has mandated that schools are closed starting on Tuesday. Gatherings of more than 1,000 people, those are forbidden, right? And smaller gatherings, even 250 people, they're saying, well, try not to do that. Some of the changes we've made here at Cross, changes that we're going to have when it comes time for communion, asking everybody to wash their hands, saying, hey, please don't shake hands right now or hug. Some of the things that we're doing is trying to do our part to keep from spreading any disease, any illness, so that everyone stays healthy. But people are concerned, and rightfully so. Some people are frightened. They're scared, right? Some people are hoarding toilet paper and bottled water, right? There's an opportunity for fear and panic to take hold of us when we feel like things are falling apart. So we find ourselves asking questions. What about my loved ones? What if they get sick? How can I care for them when they're in a nursing home facility and I'm not allowed in there? How can I care for them when I'm here in this state and they live somewhere else far away? What about my job? What if I get sick and I can't go to work? How am I going to make ends meet? What about my kids? They can't go to school. I got to work. Who's going to take care of them? And watch them. What about our family trip to Disney World? It's canceled. You know, that's affected quite a few families here at Cross. Is the company or the restaurant or the organization that I work for, are they going to make it financially through what's happening right now? The stock market's going crazy. What about my future? What's happening there? We know these moments. We know these questions. We're living them right now. And the question of what if, or how long, or how bad, we're all asking them. What do we say when things fall apart? as we chew on this question, listen again as I just share the beginning of Psalm 46. This is how we respond when things fall apart. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. See, in the psalm, the psalmist describes all sorts of things that are falling apart. Natural disasters, political turmoil, interpersonal conflicts, all sorts of things that we know because we ourselves have experienced them and are experiencing them right now. We are imperfect people who live in an imperfect world and we struggle. We struggle. Disaster, turmoil, war, fighting within our families. We're familiar with all of this. And the question that always runs through our mind is, where is God? I know that you've all asked that question, maybe silently in your head. I've asked it myself, right? We say, you know, how do I make sense of this brokenness? How do I respond during these times, right? In the midst of conflict and struggle and suffering and pain and disaster, in the midst of all these things, the psalmist makes a bold statement about how the people of faith respond in times like this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Period. We will not fear. Wow. Now, is this how we always respond? Right? It's easy for us to say, easy for us to share with someone else when they're going through something hard, but we're fine. But when our life is falling apart, that's a hard thing to do. When the state of Illinois mandates that schools are closed, that's a hard thing to do. We will not fear. We will not fear. And then the psalmist describes these different scenarios as you go through the psalm. We will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. We will not fear in the face of hurricanes and earthquakes and tornadoes and natural disasters. That's what's being said here. Now, I wouldn't say that I'm a fearful person, right? There's some things that scare me. I really don't like clowns. I wouldn't say that I'm afraid of them, but I really don't like them. I'm more likely to hit one if it comes too close to me than to run away screaming. Please do not dress like a clown and come next week, right? Okay, but sharks, that's a tough one. Even if I'm just standing ankle deep in the ocean, I'm worried about the shark that's going to come eat me. Okay, I really don't like sharks. And then tornadoes and earthquakes, no thank you. No, thank you. You know, I know I've told you about when I lived in Nebraska, and there was this period of time where every day after work, after dinner, I had to go down in the basement, sit under the steps next to the litter box, because there were tornadoes. Every night for like a month, tornadoes going through, right? I don't like tornadoes. I'm afraid of those. Never had. But look at this. The psalmist describes all these crazy things. Things are happening on the earth. And then he switches scenes. In the midst of trembling and swelling and roaring, all these things, he says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. See, in the middle of chaos, there's a description of peace and calm. God being in the midst of all this. And with that God comes peace. Can you see God in your midst? Can you see God in your storm? I remember back in 2014, there were a bunch of tornadoes that went through Nebraska and Iowa, caused a lot of damage, especially these little towns throughout those states. And there was a picture I remember. This is one of the pictures there of a town. This was in Pilger, Nebraska. Two tornadoes tore through that town, destroyed like everything, all right? Everything. People lost everything. Two people died. And there in the midst of the destruction, this is 1 week after the tornado, you got these people gathering at their church, St. John's Church, there in Pilger, people saying, it's going to be okay. We will not fear. See, 1 week after the tornado, there is no church. All that's left is the bell tower. That's kind of behind where the pastor's standing. Some guy crawled up on a ladder and used a hammer to ring the bell, because that's all that was there. And the people gathered to be uplifted, to be encouraged, to receive the body and blood of Christ. Because even though the earth seems to give way, God is in their midst. And they can say that God is their refuge and strength, that He is a very present help in their very real time of trouble. And they will not fear. Scene 2 from our psalm. Verse 6. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice, the earth melts. Nations fighting, countries fighting against one another. We don't know anything about that, do we? Right? Sudan or Syria, Israel, Gaza, North and South Korea, Afghanistan, war and rumors of wars. It seems like that's all that fills our newspapers sometimes. In fact, it would be surprising to open up the newspaper and not read about some conflict that's going on at some part of the earth. Terrorist attacks all over. We hear about these things, so much so that we're kind of desensitized to them. When our mission team was in Kenya, 100 miles north of where we were at that resort, 100 miles north, a military base was attacked. It's a little scary. There are conflicts all over, and for some people, this is normal, everyday life in the place that they live. Now, maybe war isn't what we deal with here, but we certainly have quite a political storm in front of us. It's an election year, and if it's not country versus country, it certainly is elected official versus elected official. We have all these people slinging mud and pointing fingers and making accusations and saying all sorts of stuff about one another. Whether the things they say are actually good for the people or if it's just a political move and a power grab. We know this is going to ramp up too as we get closer to an election. Everyone is at war with one another, trying to see how far they can push the other person. See, and in the middle of this chaos, in the middle of fighting, in the middle of a sinful world that seems bent on destroying itself, we hear this, verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. A fortress. The Almighty God is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, a place of safety, a place of security, a hiding place where we can rest secure. In God, we will not fear because we're safe. Scene 3 in the psalm, verses 8 and 9. Come behold the works of the Lord, how He's brought desolations on the earth, how He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns chariots with fire. See, here's a description of God in His unbridled holy power. God, the sovereign Lord of all things. God doing what only God can do with a wisdom that is sometimes beyond any of our comprehension. We don't know all things. We can't see all things. We don't understand all things. And sometimes this mighty, holy power of God intersects in our lives, and there seems to be collateral damage. And we wonder, why God? Why God? And in the midst of this, what do we hear in the psalm? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. My favorite Bible verse for when things are going tough for me. I am God, not you, Pastor Matt. Be still. All things are in my hands, God says, not yours, Pastor Matt. Be still. Don't fear. For me, this is what I hold on to when things are falling apart. So where are you in your life? Can you see yourself in the midst of any of these scenes? Natural calamities? Things are falling apart at home or health? Interpersonal conflicts and fighting? The inexplicable, holy, unbridled power of God that seems to be breaking into your life right now, and stuff just seems to happen. Where are you? How are you doing in that scene that's playing out in your life? In the middle of the chaos and the anxiety, how is your faith? Or should I ask, where is your faith? in whom is your faith? Because that's the real question, isn't it? Where is your faith? In whom is your faith? In August of 1527, the bubonic plague struck Wittenberg, where Reverend Martin Luther and his pregnant wife, Katerina, lived. And the bubonic plague was a nasty disease carried by the bites of fleas, right? And those fleas often came from rats, from rodents, all right? And what was, it was an airborne illness, so you could get it from the bites, but you could get it from just being in contact with someone who was sick or handling someone who is sick. In just one day of being bitten and contracting this disease, you started to show signs of infection. And for many, just a few days later, death followed. Now, many people fled Wittenberg, didn't want to be there because of this plague. But Luther and his wife stayed there to help those who were infected. Now, Luther recognized it was okay for some people to go, that they valued their life so much that they say, I got to get out of this city. I got to live. My family has to live. But he also believed that the sick needed someone of greater faith to care for them too. So Luther and Katerina, they walked forward without fear. Luther and his family, they stayed in the city, letting the light of Christ shine in that darkness. They opened their home to the infected. He preached to those who literally were days away from death. He administered the Lord's Supper to those who had faith, right? And as Luther and as Katerina did that, as they did these things, they witnessed their friends, they witnessed their neighbors, they witnessed their loved ones or family members, they witnessed them die because of the plague. They experienced deep personal loss. And in fact, not just through that, but those next few years were marked by suffering and hurt for Luther and his family, right? The political scene in Germany was bad. Lutherans were being martyred, killed for their faith. Luther's daughter, who barely escaped the plague, right, as she was born, 8 months later she died, right? Things were falling apart. And yet, in those few years following the plague, following the hurt, following the suffering, Luther took Psalm 46 and he put it to music. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God comes to you today the same way he came to Martin Luther with these words. Be still. I am your refuge. I am your strength. I am your fortress. I am that calm, tranquil stream. His psalm became a song that we know, a mighty fortress is our God. An anthem of refuge that we find in God and in God alone. God is saying, I will stand by your side no matter what. I will send my son Jesus to make this happen. Jesus' death, his life, his death, his resurrection took away the things that would separate you from God. And God is with you forever. Forever. God is with you. Be still. Find your strength, find your refuge in God. Do not fear. So we will not fear. Be still as you come to this table and receive the Lord's body and blood today, a guarantee of God's forgiveness for you in Jesus Christ. We will not fear. Be still as you remember the waters of your holy baptism. And in that baptism, you were promised life, an eternal life, a life that COVID-19 or any other disease cannot take away. We will not fear. Be still as you depend on the Lord's presence each and every day, as you depend on God to provide for you, even when you go to the stores and the shelves seem empty of toilet paper. Be still. We will not fear. Because we can all say together, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, I'm not naive, right? You and I both know that life can be hard. I know there will be times in these coming weeks and months and years that these scenes given to us in Psalm 46 will play out in our lives, right in front of us. It's here right now, COVID-19, it's here. But here's the question I ask of you. How will we respond when things fall apart? In the book I mentioned earlier, Things Fall Apart, Okonkwo responds by killing himself. He's driven to despair when things fall apart. But we do not despair. God comes to us with these words, do not be alarmed, do not worry, do not be afraid, be still. Because the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Here's the point. When things fall apart, there will be opportunities for us as Christians, for you, for me, for us as a congregation, to speak these words, bring these words to one another. Our red letter challenge this week is about serving. About serving. And we, now more than ever, have an opportunity to serve and to care, to shine the light of Christ. Why? Because we will not fear. Be still. In a community that is increasingly fearful and afraid, not knowing what to do, not knowing what's going to happen, we have an opportunity to embody these words. God is a very present help in trouble. He's going to do that through you and through me. When we're stuck at home because school is closed, or we're sick and we can't go to work, we have an opportunity to sit in our favorite chair and read these words, be with God, spend time with Him, because there's no sports to watch on television, right? That God is your refuge and strength. Do not be afraid. In the middle of chaos, we have a calm and peaceful river. We have a strong and mighty fortress. We have a voice that speaks to us and says, be still, for I am your God. God's got this, and He's got you. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.